Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Church. Today we're considering the question, do sports have a place in church? Well, I've got a very special guest, Fred Clark, joining me, and I hope you'll tune in to hear what he has to say on the matter. Let's Talk Church. Welcome to the podcast, Fred Clark. It's so good to have you.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here too. I know we're going to have some good times together as we consider the topic, do sports have a place in church?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Very good topic.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I've been thinking about sports as I see, with the pandemic, a lot of people not being able to play sports this year. And some people are talking about the impact that not being able to play sports would have on their potential for college later on, like being able to go on some type of academic scholarship because they wouldn't have everything that they would need this year. But then I also thought about, coaches. Mm-hmm. And the impact of coaches. We've seen famous athletes given some type of a speech or award, for some award or some accomplishment that they've done. And, there's a special ingredient to it all, right? So they're going to thank God. Mm-hmm. They're going to thank their mama or their family. Right. And then sometimes you see that they'll thank their church and their coach. Mm-hmm. And it says to me that all of those elements there are important. But when I think about the coach, a coach is with a kid a lot, particularly if it's a winning team or if it's a team that has a certain particular regiment that they have to follow through. So to me, it seems like a sports coach has an influence on an athlete that can reach way beyond a game, way beyond a season. Yes. To me, the role of a coach, a good coach in particular, is vital. So as a coach yourself of a winning team, how have you introduced yourself to your team?
Very good question. So let me just start by saying, coaching was something that I think that I tried to avoid for a very long time of my life. But I think when you think about, not that it's the same, right? A call to be a preacher, right? Sometimes you're called into these aspects or to these areas and you put it off and say, no, not me. Of course not. I love playing basketball all of my life. And I played pretty much all of my life along with some other sports, but then there was a calling to coach. And one of the things that I said that I would always do was try to keep things informal. So when we talk about introductions, for me, it's always been an informal way of introducing myself to a team or players, because obviously players make up the team. So, and the reason that I do that is because I am seeking a personal relationship with each player. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that with a regimented or a formal way of trying to introduce myself. Each player has different needs. So I try to keep it as informal as possible.
And how have your players responded to that, that one-on-one relationship opportunity?
Well, certainly if you ask me, I'd say they responded quite well. Now, I'm not the only coach. There is a team of us consisting of people that William Dawes and Roger Davis. They also assist in coaching. And that's been our philosophy since day one, is to make sure that we develop personal relationships with the players so that it goes beyond just basketball. When you go into the classroom or when you go into the future things of their lives or their endeavors, you can sit down and you can talk to them about these things because you have a personal relationship. If you're just a coach of basketball, well, then it's limited to just coaching the basketball court itself.
Okay. Well, then what characteristics are important to possess for a person in sports leadership?
So if I had to pull out, there's so many different characteristics that are important in coaching. But when you say leadership and how it ties to coaching, I think the number one thing is patience. You have to be patient. Yeah, you have to be patient because every player comes with a different skill set. And what you're trying to do is to grow that person to so they could achieve their best, so they can perform at their highest level. Much like our Christian walk, right? Exactly. Every person comes at a different point in their Christian walk, right? So, you know, the pastor or the church leadership has to work with them with patience to get them to their potential. So that's number one, patience. Number two is you have to be positive. There are going to be a lot of different situations that aren't necessarily positive situations that you're in, but you have to spin it so that players see the positivity in you so they can perform in a positive way. And then I think lastly, which is also very important, is respectful. Because what you put into those players is what you want to get out of them. Mm-hmm. You can't be disrespectful to players or family members and parents and expect them to respect you. So you have to be respectful of every situation, every player. And then in turn, those players will become respectful.
Okay, so we've got patience, we've got positivity, and we've got mutual respect.
Correct.
Those are things that sound like they could belong and mesh well with the church, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but let's look at that for a minute. How does the mission of the church and sports connect? And then is the main focus, as you're doing these things, is the main focus on evangelism, or is there an additional spiritual and physical connection?
So with us and what we try to do in coaching is evangelize. It is definitely the primary aspect of this is evangelism. Mm-hmm. Now, sports, whether it be basketball, softball, or whatever, is really just a conduit, right? We use that as a attraction for youth, adults, male, female, whatever. Mm-hmm. We use that as an attraction to get them into an environment in which we can evangelize. Mm-hmm. So how does it tie to the church? Well, obviously the Bible tells us, right, to go ye therefore into the world. So how are you going to get there, right? So there are many ways to get there. And it's a lot easier when people come to you. So if we can have those that are interested in sports, whether it be basketball, soccer, whatever, come to us, then we can evangelize to them. And then in turn, what you make is many evangelists. when we teach them or when we work with them, they can evangelize for the kingdom as they go out into their environment, schools, workplace, wherever. So the main focus is evangelism, with sports being the conduit, if you will.
Okay. You know, it's so interesting that you were saying that, you know, they go back, we teach or we evangelize, we work with them, then we send them back into areas that they're familiar with, their particular communities. And some of those are some of the people that they're going to interact with will be people that we possibly could never reach.
Exactly.
You know, in and of ourselves. And so, you know, having that, building that relationship and having that attraction there is actually really good for the church. But I want to talk about timing, because a few episodes back, we spoke with a youth ministry leader who informed us of the challenges of getting time with our youth. It was Roger Davis told us it was tough to get a sliver of time with the youth. Hmm. And so how does the church fare with getting participation, particularly considering that there are other sports organizations and some of those have games on Sunday? And I'm thinking about a particular one. Yeah. I won't mention it, but, you know, there's so many other opportunities for sports, too. So how does the church get ahead and really get some participation?
That's a very good question. And it has been a challenge for the years that we've had a basketball team. So with what we do, what we find is that the biggest challenge for us is not necessarily other activities such as, let's say, another basketball league or anything like that. It's really schoolwork or a job, right? Mm-hmm. The players that we typically target aren't necessarily playing on their high school basketball team.
Okay.
Because right now, we're coaching kids that are in high school or even middle school to some extent, middle school and older. And obviously, if they're in a school, they have an opportunity to play on their school basketball teams. Well, not everybody's going to make the school basketball team. So where we fall into place is for those kids that don't necessarily make the basketball team. or whatever sport there is. Well, so with that, so you don't really have that competition there, but they could play in their, you know, their county leagues or their city leagues. But what we find is that that's not really a direct challenge.
Oh,
more of a, yeah, more of a direct challenge for us is jobs or schoolwork, which certainly takes precedence over a basketball that we're trying to put forth. But that's been the challenge for us. I mean, you know, we have practice during the week, mm-hmm. and a kid might tell us, "Hey, coach, I can't make practice because I have to work tonight."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Can you work it into your schedule next week, since we know that we're practicing on next Monday? And for the most part, kids are pretty responsible, especially with things that they want to do, that they want to be a part of, and they'll make the adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we find more often than not, is that if you give them time, if they know in advance, they'll work it out in their schedules to make practices, they'll make the games and that kind of thing. So,
well, how are you able to keep that energy up though?
That's a challenge. Again, it goes back to personal relationships, right? When we practice with these young men, we make it fun.
Okay.
It's not as regimented as a high school team, right?
Okay.
High school team, because I played high school basketball, I know how intense it is. I know how competitive it is. I know that there are certain things that you got to do because the coach at that particular school has been assigned a job. For us, this is not necessarily a job. This is something that we're committed to doing because we're trying to better the lives of young people. Not saying that the coach at the school is not doing that, but it's a job for them. So there are certain things that they have to do. There are certain things that they're being evaluated on to perform. For us, we can make it more lighthearted, not as regimented, not as strict, and we keep it fun for the kids. So when they come, we're joking with them, they're joking with us. And they genuinely like to be there.
Mm.
I can remember when I was in playing high school basketball, there were some days I didn't want to go to practice because I knew what it was going to require. But while we do work the kids hard, we make it fun for them. And they want to be there. Their parents want them to be there. And it's just kind of one of those things that we try to create a family environment for them to just to come out and play basketball.
Hmm. Well, I like that. Sounds like you already have, even that just kind of sounds like a pitch, but if you had to formalize it, you know, if you had to make a pitch to promote the connection between sports and church, what would you say?
So if I had to make a pitch, I would use scripture, right? Particularly when we talk about church. And I think I would use Paul as an example, like, so 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, where he talks about running a race, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can use that as an analogy of our Christian walk, but also with sports, right? So we know that each one of us, we have to train, we have to be disciplined, but the overall objective is to win the race, right? Same thing with basketball. Overall objective is to win the game. Football, same thing. Or anything that you might get involved in a sports related thing, that there is an objective. But along the way, there's some sacrifice that you have to make. There's some things that may not go your way. How are you going to handle adversity? That's where the tie-in comes in for me and for the coaches, is that we want to put kids in a situation where they can see sports and make it similar or symbolic of life, right? Do your best. You got to practice. You got to read your Bible. You know, you got to stay disciplined. You got to stay away from people that's going to, you know, put you in bad situations,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to handle adversity, you know, whether it be bullying or whatever the case may be. You got to handle bad test scores or, you know, just confrontations with other people. You got to handle them the best way you can. And when you do all of that, that race becomes, you get closer to the finish line,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that victory in sight. So that's how it's symbolic. And I think that's how we kind of try to mirror those things together or marriage those things together so that people understand or kids understand that, you know, sports has a place in church and you can use it to help people along in their Christian walk.
That's fantastic. So let's run back just a second, though, because if we think about what you just said and we pair it with self-esteem, then mm-hmm. we know that self-esteem is critical for youth. And, you know, they're dealing with so much now in ways that maybe we didn't necessarily have to coming up. For instance, if someone was being bullied at school, well, after the school day, they had a little bit of a reprieve because when they got home, they were in a safe place. They were in the safety of their home. But now with social media platforms being what they are, a physical removal from the school or the place of bullying doesn't necessarily stop the issue because, you know, the social media follows them into the house on their phones and et cetera, all the electronic devices. So for something like that, there's little reprieve for some kids if they choose to engage electronically. So how can a sports program within the walls of the church benefit a kid in that situation to overcome self-doubt? Because you're already, you know, advocating a family atmosphere, a fun mm-hmm. atmosphere. How else can it help a kid with a self-doubt or self-esteem issue?
That's a great question. And it goes back to what I had mentioned earlier, and that goes back to the personal relationship. I will say, let me preface my response this way. Today's kids, they have way more distractions than us when we grew up. And I don't want to put my age out there, but I'm a little older, right? So,
yes, a little older.
And you're right. You know, when we got out of school, you know, one of the first things that we wanted to do was, hey, let's go to the park. Let's get out. Let's do this. And what that did, I think it created a community that insulated us from certain things. And I'm not saying bullying didn't exist then, but I felt like I was insulated because I had so many friends. My friendships were extensive.
And it's popular.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But you know, you know, there were so many people out there that were playing basketball or football or whatever.
Sure.
That we just didn't experience the isolation that I think a lot of kids have now. That being said, there have been many leagues that I've coached in which I have tried to develop a strategy, if you will, of this personal relationship and identify, you know, what does a kid need? You know, does he need to grow in self-esteem? Is he an outgoing kid? Is he an introvert? Those are things that I think that we observe as coaches and try to make sure that we meet the needs of that young person. Mm-hmm. I give you an example. The league that I've had the most fun coaching, not that, you know, I'm comparing, but it's interesting to coach kids that are like in fourth and fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not quite as competitive as the high school kids, but they're getting there, right? And they're kind of growing into their skill set and they understand the game, but they still have some challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in coaching them, there are some kids that come there where their parents are concerned because they have been bullied or they have had some social challenges and they tell me. And so what I do is I try to work with those kids on those challenges and we work on their weaknesses, whether it be being able to pray in public, which helps their self-esteem because now they're saying certain things, or if they are maybe not as skilled in basketball, maybe they can't dribble with their left hand. Well, we work on that as well. That's a physical challenge, right? And I've had parents come up after the season and say, you know what, my son had so much fun, or my daughter had so much fun because she feels better or he feels better than when they started. That's the purpose of a coach, is to make that person feel better about when they started. And as you walk that, line, again, that's a spiritual walk too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to grow spiritually so that when we look back, when I started, I was here, right? I knew one Bible verse, but now a year later, there's so many Bible verses that I can reference.
Mm-hmm.
In sports, I couldn't shoot with my left hand. Now, not only can I shoot, I can dribble, I can do all these kind of things. So that's how we're able to improve the self-esteem of young people, is because we work with them individually on their weaknesses and turn those weaknesses into positive things for?
You know, that is excellent, because sometimes someone who is deficient in an area will let that area define who they are.
Exactly.
And I like that you guys are identifying the deficiency and saying, okay, we can work on that, you know, and then they have the track record of this is where I was at the beginning of the season. And now this is where I am at the end of the season, which will be markedly better than when they began, just because for nothing else, they've actually got a different mindset about it. It's not a deficiency anymore. It is something that can be addressed. And then, you know, it's being worked on it and is improving. So I think sometimes also people think that, you know, just because they have a deficiency, then that's, you know, that's the end of the story. Nothing can be done. But I like that you are providing a ministry that shows that we, you know, we all fall short somewhere. And there's help for that. You don't have to stay where you are.
And that's key. We have to recognize we all fall short. I mean, we just didn't land in the center of the basketball court and suddenly become LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Those guys had to work, become who they are, right? Well, same thing with us. We have to work to get better. And sometimes, most of the time, you need someone else to help you identify those areas of deficiency, as you said, and just get better. And that's how we have to do in our lives as well, you know?
That's right. You got to keep working at it. Yeah. When you mentioned MJ, I thought about the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and some of the words that were said around him, like, you know, hard worker and always the last one and always the first one, you know, just kind of always working on the skill set. And to be good at something, then you have to work on it.
Yep, absolutely.
So for those that, I mean, I think clearly you've made the point here that sports is more than entertainment, it is ministry. But for anyone that might still doubt, that might still have a shred of disbelief and think that it's all about entertainment value, what would you say?
Well, I would say this, you know, people are going to always see sports as entertainment. And let's be honest, it is. It is entertainment on the surface. I mean, when we go to watch NC State basketball, right?
Yes. Okay.
I want to be entertained.
I do too. And I want to see some nice dunk.
that's entertainment. But behind the scenes, there's something that's going on that we don't see. And that's where the coaches are very critical in this part of it. I suspect that over at NC State, over at Chapel Hill, at Duke, there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we don't see that helps these players improve. But when we go to the game, we want to see a win and we want to be entertained in between dunks, three-pointers, and all this kind of stuff. And we may leave, never think about what took place behind the scenes. I know I don't necessarily.
I don't either.
But yeah, so it's going to always be entertainment for most of us. But there are some things that are taking place in the background that are very important for each person that participates. And for the coach, it depends on really what you want the outcome to be. If you are an establishment or an organization that prides itself in wins, well, hey, that's your objective. Our objective is much different. And our objective is that we're not necessarily focused on winning games. We're focused on creating an environment where young men and women, adults as well, because we have adult sports as well, are able to learn more about God, about Christ, but more importantly, demonstrate Christian characteristics when we play. When we are competing, those are the things that are very important. And then those characteristics carry over into the workplace, into school. Those are the things that are important to us.
You mean I can't throw a tantrum if the ball doesn't go in the net or somebody strikes me out? I can't throw a tantrum and walk off the court of the field.
Well, listen, we're human, right? and in the spirit of
passion,
in the spirit of competition, those kind of things that happen. Now, as a coach, you know, we have to let our players know that when that happens, because it's going to happen, we're human. We got to figure out how we're going to either correct the behavior mm-hmm. and deal with it. For example, I remember we were in a game and a young man was playing. This is like maybe the first year that we had a basketball team, and he didn't like a call, and he got really hot and slapped the floor, and it drew attention to the team. So, you know, as the coaches, we called a timeout, and we talked to the team about, you know, what that behavior created for mm-hmm. not only for the team, but for the environment and for the people that were watching. That young man went on to be one of the best defensive players for our team.
All right now.
So we ended up turning that energy, that negative energy that he had early on, into something positive, to where he was one of the, I mean, you could put this player on anybody and he would literally shut them down. Mm. But it takes time. You remember going back to patience, right? Understanding, you know, what type of person you have, personal relationship, and then being able to encourage, staying positive, being able to encourage them to, you know, put that energy somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it depends on your objectives, right? It's more than entertainment for us. We see it as a way of evangelizing, and we will always see that.
That's wonderful. So let me ask you, I think the program that you have with your fellow coaches is wonderful and useful for the upbuilding of, you know, for those that would participate. So do you know if many other churches have these types of leagues? And if so, how does one, how does one marry competitiveness with Christian principles? Like, say, if you taught your team one thing and then another church is teaching their team or allowing another type of behavior, you know, how do those two things mix?
That is a very good question as well. We see that quite a bit. So the first question was, are there a number of leagues? There are a number of leagues, even in the area that we live in. So we have a choice of which league to participate in. Okay. And what we've tried to do is try to participate in a league that was closest to our church, obviously. That way it reduces the amount of travel time for parents or kids. Mm-hmm. But we've played in two leagues. One that was more of a traveling league, which was taxing on the parents. Mm-hmm. And then we've played in a league that's been close to the church. Some churches, unfortunately, don't necessarily stress the same principles, right. You know, but hey, I have no control over that. Control is a very strong word. I have no influence over that, but we can influence our players. So when we see behaviors that are unbecoming or that's contradictory to what we teach our players, we just tell our players, say, look, you know what we've poured into you. Mm-hmm. Let's not fall victim to what they're trying to do to us. Mm-hmm. You have control over your tongue. You have control of what you say and your actions. You know, that's all we can do. And when we run into that type of situation, we just have to coach through it, right? We've not experienced that a lot, but we have experienced.
That's good.
It. Yeah, but we have experienced it.
Okay, I'm glad it's a minimal type. Yeah. But is it wrong to want to win?
Not at all. I mean, I think God wants our best in everything, right? And again, the way that we approach it, it's a team sport, but we want every individual to perform at their highest level. Mm-hmm. And if everybody's performing at their highest level, you'll get the victory, right? It may not necessarily be this year. It may be next year. Our first team lost every single game we played. Every oh, game. Really? Yeah, our first team. We went into that with faith and not a whole lot of knowledge of what we were getting into. But they played so hard every game. The second year, we only lost two games. Mm-hmm. And the third year, we won every game. We went undefeated. So as you can see, we were patient, right? We kept preaching positivity. and respect throughout the whole season or seasons, because it took a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to win, but we lost every game the first year. But I will tell you one thing. Each player got better. They got progressively better. And as each player got better, think about the scriptures when it talks about how we all were members of a body, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every player has a different role. And when players learn to accept their roles and contribute at the highest level, inevitably you're going to win. And that's what happened. So while we weren't training or coaching them necessarily to win every game, what we were doing was training them to be the best that they could be, both individually and collectively.
Okay. So let's just say let's just imagine for a minute. Mm-hmm. So you've got a winning team. Mm-hmm. You know, they work hard to get there. Now they also watch, you know, celebrity athletes or, you know, professional athletes, I should say, mm-hmm. doing their thing. And, you know, maybe they want to try to emulate that on the court, you know, to their limited abilities. They may try to bring some of what they see to the game, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes that's a, you know, good thing for effort. And then sometimes maybe that's a challenging thing, I would think, as a coach, because on television, sometimes we do see athletes displaying unsportsmanlike conduct. So how are you guarding against one of your students or one of your players mm-hmm. bringing some of that unsportsmanlike conduct that they have seen on a television, you know, mm-hmm. on television to the game? How are you guarding against that? Because if you say, no, when, you know, professional player X did that, that was wrong. Then they're like, mm-hmm. no, he's famous and it's fine, you know? So how are you guarding the team against that?
Yeah, so that is a challenge. I mean, obviously every player, and if we're talking about basketball, they want to be like someone else.
Like Mike was a whole ad campaign.
Yeah, exactly. So every player wants to be like someone. My favorite player, Dwayne Wade, I mean, have I ever tried to emulate some of his moves, even at my age now? Yeah, of course. I can't quite do it, but I still try to emulate some of his moves, and not necessarily, you know, what he does personally, but just try to be like him on the court. So when you see players or students doing the same thing, the first thing you have to do is to understand that, hey, we're all human. We're going to make mistakes. So if their player made a mistake and they had some unsportsmanlike behaviors on the court, we could talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask them, do you think that was becoming of a Christian man or a woman? And let them tell you what their thoughts are. And then from there, we can begin to show them what the right behavior mm-hmm. should be in their own eye, not necessarily coming from me, but from what they have learned and what their perspective is. Because it's really hard for you, like I'm using myself as an example, for you to tell me negative things about my favorite player, mm-hmm. right? Because I'll try to defend them. But once you open my eyes to what a person has done that might not necessarily be in a good light, I can then begin to acknowledge, okay, well, you know, maybe that wasn't a good idea. So how can I avoid the same pitfall that this player did? Mm-hmm. And then you can begin to walk with them through that whole process. But keep in mind, we're all subject and we all are going to make mistakes. So sure. I try not to highlight the mistake so much mm-hmm. as it is, listen, let's try to avoid it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But when you do, acknowledge it, and let's put some corrective measures in place so that it doesn't happen again.
All right. Well, final question here. If a church or a ministry leader is looking to build out their sports or athletics ministry, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to them?
I would say start small. you know, we started with, we've had a number of different activities that we've allowed people to participate in. We've had basketball, and we currently have basketball and softball. We've had bowling, golf, a number of different activities. But if you really want to expand upon those things, you kind of have to start small so that you can gain the interest level of your people. Because just because your church likes basketball doesn't mean the church down the street wants to play basketball, right? Yeah. So you have to understand what the culture of your church is. So start small, gain commitment from people, your parishioners, right? Because anything that's going to be put together, like a sport, an activity like that, requires volunteers. There's nobody on our staff that's paid to carry it out, right? So the smaller you start, the more control that you can have in making sure that it's not perfect, but working towards perfection, right? And then as you gain interest, as you gain more commitment from other people, parents or whatever, you can then begin to expand into other areas of interest. One of the first things that happens when you introduce activities is that people have a lot of ideas, and they're coming to you. Well, why don't we do this? Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we do this? First question I ask is, well, are you willing to lead it? And if the answer is no, well, you know, I have to almost say, well, maybe it's not a good time for us to start this activity, because if you're expecting me to do it, not that I don't want to, but I mean, you know, many of us work a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And if we're already committed to other church activities, we don't have the time. And mm-hmm. you can't be effective with anything if you don't have time to prepare and just kind of assess where the things are going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ask people if they're willing to lead. And once you begin to get that, you know, that base of commitment, then you can begin to expand into other interest levels. So start small, work slowly to expand, grow your commitment from your membership.
Well, this has been excellent. I thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and showing us that sports absolutely have a place in church, that sports is so much more about ministry, you know, in the appropriate application of such. Yeah. And so I do appreciate that. And I, you know, would pray that your sports ministry would continue to grow, because I think it's a real good home, a good place for our youth to get some Christian principles in a way that's fun and challenging for them. So thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me. All right. Really appreciate it.
You have been listening to Let's Talk Church, a podcast designed for the curious and the convinced. Join us weekly as we explore and get more comfortable with Christianity. If you haven't done so already, please click subscribe. Also, you're welcome to join us on Instagram @TalkChurch. We pray that our God will bless and keep you.